Welcome, everybody, to the Week 4 edition of the Skeleton Debates, Utopia's very own college football podcast. I am your host, Christopher White, better known as WhiteyC77. Joining me here on the podcast tonight, got a couple of guys on the horn, one of which is a newbie, so we'll introduce him first. We're going to have Purple112 on the horn with us. We're going to refer to him as Steve here on the call. Steve, how are you this evening?
I'm great.
Awesome. And then we also got Bruin on with us as well, also known as Jordy, a longtime member here on the Skeleton Debates. What, this is your third Skeleton Debate now, so you are becoming a veteran quickly of the debates.
Yep, I think this is the third one, I think.
All right, very nice. So we'll jump into the Week 4 edition. And, of course, we have a few things to touch on. So we're going to try to jump right into it. We're going to start off like we do each week with Chase's Bandwagon, where we're going to go into our updated playoff participants. So as we sit here going into Week 4 of the college football season, Jordy, we'll kick it off with you. Who are your four playoff participants currently? Who are you projecting to sneak into that final four? And a little bit of reasoning behind it.
Okay, I think it's the same as the last time. I have Oregon, A&M, Baylor, and FSU as my four. Oregon, I think, has been the most impressive team thus far, from what we know through the first 3 weeks. They beat Wyoming with some ease, beaten by, I think, 5 touchdowns. They beat an FCS team with ease. And then their most important win, obviously, was that that big win over Michigan State, which is, I think, the most impressive win thus far for anybody in college football. Then they got A&M. They, you know, trounced that that South Carolina team at home the first week of the season, and then kind of have rolled by with some lesser competition against Lamar and Rice, but no reason thus far to change them. They've been the most impressive team in the SEC thus far in my eyes. Baylor has looked really good, albeit against lesser competition, so we'll see how it goes going into conference play. But as long as Petty stays healthy, I see no reason to kind of to take them out of that spot. And then FSU, I mean, the ACC just looks so weak, and they only have, I would say, 2 real tests left with Clemson this week and then Notre Dame later in the year, but they both get those guys at home. And again, with a weak conference schedule, I think they should be able to get through there with only one loss and get into the playoff.
All right, so we'll jump over to Steve. I'm not sure if this is going to be taken three that's going on right now, and maybe you're speaking through like a burner cell phone or something, but Steve, I know you've got some rustling going on in the background. Please don't hunt us down and kill us, but instead let us know who your final four is going to be.
Well, I had some pretty vanilla picks. What happened last week is, had we done the show, I was prepared to say USC and Georgia is 2 of them, and they just happened to lose this past week. So I went, like I said, pretty vanilla, Oregon, Florida State, LSU, and then Oklahoma.
All right. And
No,
you're fine. Go ahead. Okay. Let us know what you're thinking.
Oregon and Florida State, for the reasons that Jordy said mostly. They've looked too impressive, two most impressive teams in the country at this point. LSU I really like, mostly because I don't know what it is about them, but I can see them being a pretty good contender. They had Wisconsin early in the season. They were down late to them and still managed to come back, so they've actually been tested early in the season. And then the thing about Oklahoma is I'm not entirely sold on them because I think a lot of people are still riding the Sugar Bowl hype from them. But the thing is, I really did not know who to put for this, so they were the most likely people to fall into the spot.
And as I take a look at my final four participants, Chase's Bandwagon, you know, I look to the quarterback position, and the teams that I've selected arguably have the 4 best quarterbacks in all of college football. I went with Baylor Auburn, Oregon, and Florida State. Really, the only name that's new is Auburn, and that's contrary to what I've posted earlier in my bold predictions thread where I said that Auburn is going to lose three games this year. That Auburn offense has just continued rolling. Nobody has come close to stopping it, and I'm not sure that anybody's going to. If you're going to beat Auburn, you're going to have to score at least 35 points. And to try to hold them to under 35 is just going to be a monumental task with what Malzahn has done with that offense there. So when you're talking about Bryce Petty, you're talking about Nick Marshall, Mariota, Jameis Winston, I mean, arguably the four best quarterbacks in the country, and I think those four are going to have the best shot of making the postseason and making the first ever college football playoff. So we'll jump over to a new segment that we're going to have this week. This is going to be the Iowa Daily News. This is basically going to be news that we're a week behind on. The biggest news item, the most important thing that have been discussed ad nauseum over the last week, but we still want a chance to talk about it here on the Skeleton Debate. So we'll start off with you this time, Steve. What is it that we are lagging behind on, but we still want everybody to hear about?
This is a week late. It hasn't really been brought up too much, but I still think it's pretty interesting and worthy of talking about. This is the Wake Forest backup QB who drove his car into the middle of campus to go to Subway and then was cited with a DUI for it and then subsequently suspended from the team.
All right. Didn't know if there was going to be more analysis of that or not. So, Jordy, we'll jump over to you. Let us know what your Iowa Daily News of the Week is.
If you've watched any ESPN over the last week or so, which hopefully not for your health, but if so, you'll hear all about how the SEC West is the division of champions this year and just absolutely unbeatable. I read somewhere that someone said that anybody in the SEC West, given Florida State or Oregon's schedule, would go easily undefeated. You know, you've got Arkansas over there beating Texas Tech, the usual suspects, Alabama and LSU, A&M's just dominating everyone, and then, you know, the two Mississippi schools are up and coming, so just shows us how dominant the SEC is and how no one stands a chance in their path.
Legit question. SEC West or AFC South?
probably have to go with AFC South.
My Iowa Daily News of the week is Penn State having all of the sanctions removed and being back to full power. Uh-huh. Obviously, it's something that has been beaten into the ground, but certainly want to get my 2 cents in. You know, as I mentioned there on Utopia, it's interesting with the sanctions being removed, the timing that it is. A lot of folks are talking about a conspiracy theory. Oh, it's coming off of a week where the Big Ten looked terrible, so they need something to save face. And that's pure lunacy to try to say something like that. The Mitchell Report was slated to come out last week anyway. That's the exact day that it was supposed to come out. They didn't know that it was going to be the beatdown of epic proportions that it was 2 weeks ago. And the sanctions were already reduced the year before. Everybody was assuming they were going to be reduced again. And then you add in the fact that there's so many angles to take this from. And as a Penn State fan, I'm torn. Where, obviously, I want to see the team come off of sanctions, want to see them eligible for postseason play, want to see them be successful, especially for the guys on the team. But I absolutely despise the statue polishers, the people who are still adamant about Joe Paterno and everything having to do with Paterno. This is going to feel like a victory for those people, like it's some type of vindication, and those losers need to get over themselves. They're not putting the statue back up. They're doing this retarded Joe out this week where some people are going to be dressing up like Joe Paterno. It's time to let it go. You've got James Franklin as your head coach there. Things are good. You're 3-0. Things are looking up. Why keep dredging up the past? It just doesn't make any sense. But yet these blue hairs and morons are going to continue to bring up the past, and all it's going to do is give people the chance to call us a cult and rapists and pedophiles. And anybody that actually cares about Penn State wants to put that as far behind them as they possibly can.
Well said.
Thank you. I do my best. So let's move on to Dirt's Choke of the Week, the team most likely to be upset. Jordy, who are you seeing coming down with a case of the yips this week?
So much to the Big Ten's chagrin, I've got Michigan losing to Utah this week in the choke of the week. Not a huge upset by any means. Michigan's not nationally ranked or anything. They look pretty bad in their game against Notre Dame. But I really like what Dave Christensen has done so far at Utah through the two games. I mean, they haven't played the greatest opponents, but Travis Wilson's looked really comfortable running that offense. And Michigan, again, has, you know, like much of the rest of the Big Ten, has not looked very impressive in out of conference play. So I'm gonna take the Utes to go into Ann Arbor and come out with the victory.
All right, Steve, who's going to have a little autoerotic asphyxiation this week?
I have Virginia over BYU this week, mostly because this year's Virginia, I don't really think, is the 2-10 and 4-8 Virginias of years past. They hung on tight with UCLA, limited their offense with a Heisman hopeful to 7 points, lost them by 8. And then they were able to upset Louisville. And the main reason they did most of those was with their defense. Like I said, they held UCLA and Hundley to 7 points. They were able to create turnovers versus Louisville. And BYU just has this game every year where everyone's really high on them. They're really high on Hill. And I think this is the game where it's all going to come crashing down to earth. Virginia is going to be able to contain Hill and pull off the upset.
All right, and for me, I was wanting to go with Old Dominion, and you may hear from them later on as we get into Southpaw's meet. But I'm actually going to jump off of the Old Dominion train for a second and talk about a game that I really like this weekend, and that's West Virginia hosting Oklahoma on Saturday night. West Virginia getting 7.5 points at home. This is a game I feel like West Virginia is able to win outright. I'm going to go with a little bit of the popsicle theory. You might have heard it some on Grantland with Bill Simmons, but all Oklahoma has heard through the first 3 weeks of the season is how great they've been, how good they looked, coming off of that awesome Sugar Bowl win. Basically, everybody's sucking their popsicles left and right. Well, now they're walking into a hornet's nest of going to Morgantown with a very improved West Virginia team that has already stood toe-to-toe with a top team in the country, with playing Alabama very well in the Georgia Dome. And I see this under the lights being a very tough game for Oklahoma, one that they very well could drop. So I'm going to call for the upset of West Virginia taking out Oklahoma. Just not sure Oklahoma's going to be able to score enough with their starting running back being out for this game, Ford. And I think West Virginia's going to put up enough points, and I'll call it the shocker, 35-31, West Virginia pulling off the upset.
I had Oklahoma as one of my playoff teams, so probably will happen.
Well, good to know. Just make sure that I take the teams that you were going to pick and go. Of course, I can't say a whole lot. I had Georgia in mind just a couple weeks back as well, so my Final Four has changed quite a bit.
You got to jump on the Baylor train with me and Whitey.
Oh, the Baylor train is where it's at. Baylor train is where it's at. So let's go over to our Irishman swinger line of the week. This is going to be a game that has a narrow point spread, could go either way, but one that you feel strongly about one way or the other. Jordy, let us know, what is your swinger line of the week?
All right, so I'm going to take East Carolina over North Carolina. Looking at it, it's like a 2.5 point line right now. And yeah, ECU just looked pretty impressive thus far against the power teams that they've played. They obviously last week beat Virginia Tech at home. They almost went into Columbia and beat South Carolina a couple weeks ago. And I know they kind of looked like they had a mount a pretty furious drive there at the end to beat Virginia Tech, but I don't think that UNC has the defense that Virginia Tech does. And UNC has looked kind of mediocre, really, thus far in the season. They were losing to Liberty in, like, the third quarter. They barely beat San Diego State at home. So I like ECU to take the victory over the Tar Heels coming to visit them in Greensboro.
All right, Steve, who's going to bring the ripping and the tearing this week with your Irishman swinger line of the week?
For this one, I have LSU and Mississippi State. Now, this one isn't for the line. I didn't have it written down here, but I think it's around LSU as 12-point favorites, but like I said, it's not about that. It's because I mentioned earlier, LSU has been tested. I can kind of see them being a contender. And then Mississippi State, kind of a dark horse in this. There was some small buzz last year around Dak Prescott and him potentially being a Heisman candidate. He's been pretty impressive so far, and I think this is going to be where we see where Mississippi State really is. Are they going to be a contender this year, or are they just going to be one of those teams that people like to talk about?
Yes, because that is what Mississippi State football does. They beat up on the bad teams, and then they cower and hide when they face somebody good. So LSU is going to cover that spread, and they're going to do it rather comfortably. My Irishman swinger line of the week, Utah State and Arkansas State. Obviously, a game that's off the radar, but it's only a two-point spread in this one. Arkansas State of the fainting goat fame from the fake punt this week against Miami. This is a matchup of teams that have both lost to Tennessee already this year at Tennessee. Arkansas State did so in a more narrow fashion. But for me, this game comes down to Utah State on the road without Chucky Keaton, as Keaton is not going to be able to play this week. I'll take Arkansas State -2, and I feel like they're able to cover there. With Keaton, it's a completely different ball game. But without having him there, I don't give Utah State much of a shot. And I think Arkansas State's easily able to win that game by at least 7 points, if not double digits. So I will take Arkansas State -2 in that contest. Jump over to another new section that we're going to have this week. It's going to be Hachiko's WTF of the Week. Of course, Hachiko, well known for making posts that make us all utter that exact phrase. So what we're going to do is touch on some bad decision from this past week, be it a bad coaching decision, just a bad performance on the field, anything that just left you scratching your head. Steve, we'll kick it off with you. What left you saying Whiskey Tango Foxtrot from this past week?
Something that was on the field. It happened last week, but Tennessee unveiled their new gray alternates.
Ugh.
And yeah. Exactly. Basically, if you haven't seen them, they're same grays from last year, which weren't bad, but then again, weren't really good. The only thing is they added orange checkerboard along the shoulders, which I just don't understand. I mean, this is Adidas. You kind of expect them to take something that was had potential and then just make it worse, but I just can't even...
What is this? I don't even. It looks like a used barf bag from a plane is what this looked like. So, Jordy, we'll jump over to you. What is your WTF of the week?
So this is something that happened, I believe, yesterday. I'm going to go with Jameis Winston's decision to jump on the table and utter that famous phrase. And then Florida State's decision to suspend him for the first half of the Clemson game. I just kind of view it as kind of embarrassing for the university to have this guy who's your star player and kind of representative of your school, who has been under investigation for possible rape and caught on video stealing crab legs, of all things, from a grocery store this offseason, and you take no action, but then he jumps up on the table. And what I presume is from losing a bet shout obscenities, and you suspend him for the first half of the game, which is, I mean, if you're going to suspend somebody for a half, it's just not even worth it. Stop pretending like you care about the discipline and just let him play.
And my selection for this week, I'm actually going to stick with the same conference. It's going to be the ACC. For all the talk of how everybody is saying the Big Ten is eliminated from the college football playoff, as terrible as they've been, the ACC certainly had a weekend to forget last week, as you had Louisville get upset going on the road for their first road ACC game, losing in embarrassing fashion to Virginia, where they just simply couldn't move the football on the offensive side. A Bobby Petrino offense that can't move the football. Who knew that was even possible? Then you have Virginia Tech doing what Virginia Tech does, beating somebody decent, then turn around and dropping the next game. You have Clemson that got the brakes beaten off of them in the only decent game that they've played this season. Outside of Florida State, that's the only team carrying the torch for the ACC. And honestly, how bad have they looked through 2 weeks? They did not look impressive against Oklahoma State at all. Only beat the Citadel by 24 in a game in which the Citadel was able to pick up nearly 400 yards rushing, converting third down after third down against Florida State. If that's the standard bearer for your conference, it doesn't look good right now for the ACC. But because the schedule's so weak, Florida State's going to wind up making their way undefeated as they go through, and they are going to make their way into the college football playoff, but not a good weekend for the ACC whatsoever. So let's go over to Southpaw's Meat, your most delicious lines of the week. This is going to be your best pick against the spread for the week. Jordy, what do you see that's making your mouth water?
So I've got Mizzou over Indiana this week. They're playing in Columbia, and the line's about, I think it's like 13 points. It's around like two touchdowns. Mizzou is kind of a team that nobody's really talking about. And yeah, they haven't played against the greatest competition, but they are undefeated. They've got Matty Mock playing well. They've always got some offensive weapons. And that spells trouble for IU's completely horrid defense. So I'm going to take Mizzou by more than two touchdowns against IU at home. Just how bad IU's defense has looked this year. They've obviously not improved at all from last year. And I think Mizzou is really just going to torch them offensively.
All right, Steve, see if you can speak through your sandpaper microphone and tell us what your choice is this week for Southpaw's Meat.
So I have Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech. I'm pulling up the line right now, so wait 1 minute.
It's 7.5.
So for Virginia Tech.
Yes, Virginia Tech favored by 7.5.
Yeah, I have that. I think, I don't know, Virginia Tech's kind of an interesting team for me because they win at Ohio State, and then they have the big letdown versus East Carolina, and then Georgia Tech is also pretty interesting because they're 3-0 at this point, but none of them have been very impressive, and Georgia Tech's offense has been a train wreck for the past few years. So I think Virginia Tech is going to come hard and pissed at this one after losing versus East Carolina. Georgia Tech is not very impressive. They will cover. Yes, they definitely.
All right. I mentioned a couple of mine. I love West Virginia plus 7.5. I love Arkansas State minus 2. Old Dominion plus 7 over Rice. I love Old Dominion getting points against Rice. But without a doubt, the A1 lock of the week, the special, dial your 1-900 number, get your second mortgage ready because this is the one you're putting the house on. South Carolina minus 22 at Vanderbilt, the easiest money you are going to find in college football this year. It's stealing, folks. I'm telling you, it's stealing. This game is going to end 54-7. It's going to be in that kind of range. Vanderbilt, to call them god-awful is an insult to people who are god-awful. It's still my favorite stat of the 2014 college football season, and I don't know that anything is ever going to top it. Vanderbilt, in a home game, to open their season against Temple. Temple went 2 of 17 on third down and won the freaking game by 30 points. How is that possible? Vanderbilt is so terrible. It took UMass missing a 22-yard field goal to secure their victory, where the defensive lineman from Vanderbilt is hugging the UMass kicker. Vanderbilt is god awful, and South Carolina is going to beat the brakes off the Commodores. It's going to be ugly. Put everything you've got on the Gamecocks, and you can thank me later. Perhaps a little kickback or commission will do.
Yeah, I almost took that game. Vandy is so bad.
Ugh, bad doesn't even begin to cover it. So what we'll wrap up with this week, let us get to Mame's Mockery. The one thing most worth mocking in college football over the past week or that may be coming up. What is it that you want to mock this week, Steve?
I'm going to go with the whole Iowa-Iowa State game for Iowa was deserving of mockery, especially the last drive where it was just penalty after penalty. But I'm going to go with the icing on the cake, pun fully intended, in Kirk Ferentz. He chose to ice the kicker. They didn't receive the timeout on the field, so the kicker took the kick, missed the first time, and they found out Ferentz has called the timeout. Iowa State tries it again. They make the field goal to win the game. So
another one of my favorite moments from that game was in the first half. Iowa has been struggling all year long at kicking field goals. It's been an issue for the last year and a half now. There was a moment in the first half where a field goal was about to be kicked, and somehow or another, two kickers from Iowa wound up on the field at the same time. As somebody on Twitter eloquently put it, it's like they were trying to kick a 35 mother effing yard free kick in the Premier League. You can't have two kickers out on the field at the same time. So they had to call a timeout, got one kicker out there, and attempted the field goal. Yeah, Iowa really brought it last week. So, Jordy, what is your mockery from this past week?
So I'm going to jump off Steve's point and bring it to a bigger spectrum. This includes last week and the week before. It's the Big Ten Conference in general. It's just so bad. It's just horrible. You've got Ohio State getting the breaks beat off them by a Virginia Tech team that went to lose at home to ECU. You've got Iowa losing to an Iowa State team that lost by 20 to an FCS school, a good FCS school, but still. You've got that same Iowa team almost lost to Ball State. Illinois almost lost to Youngstown State and Western Kentucky at home, and then got just destroyed by a Washington team that's looked pretty mediocre thus far. IU, of course, gave up like almost 50 points to Bowling Green and lost. Purdue got destroyed by Central Michigan and almost lost to Western Michigan. There's just so much crap, frankly, in the conference. Really, the most impressive team thus far has been Michigan State, and their most impressive game has been a loss to Oregon. I don't really see any saving grace in this conference. It's really just all terrible.
Go ahead.
They were my pick last week for this.
Yeah.
So my mockery is gonna be two-pronged this week. First, I'm going to make a statement, and if you don't agree with it, then you're probably a communist or you're a member of ISIS. There's no other way to put it. But if you can't enjoy watching Will Muschamp on the sidelines when his team is struggling, you can get out, because that is the best and most entertaining television you can find anywhere. That dude is freaking hilarious on the sideline when his team is struggling. But for me, for the main mockery of the week, let me paint a scenario for you guys. Think about this for a second. You have a team that is, they're playing arguably the second toughest opponent they have on their schedule. They have the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, who is suspended for the first half of the game in what is going to be a big showdown. College game day is going to be there. With the convergence of those things, the fact that you've got your second toughest opponent, your Heisman winning quarterback is missing a half, and you're still favored by 17 points, how badly must you suck, Clemson? And I'm going to go with very badly. You talk about no respect for a group of people that got their blank pushed in the first week of the season by Georgia. The same exact thing is going to happen this week. FSU is going to dominate Clemson. I'm going to laugh the entire time. This is a preemptive mockery, not only for what's going to take place, but the lack of respect that's already there. I mean, my God, what else would it take to get that to a single-digit spread? Does the entire first string have to come down with Ebola? Even then, would Florida State be a 9.5-point favorite? What would it take to actually get this spread to be close? Nobody respects Clemson. Nobody respects their cheerleader head coach. Nobody respects the lack of talent that they have on both sides of the football. And I can't wait to watch them get destroyed on Saturday night.
I just want to add in one more mockery.
If you have a verb.
I'm going to mock Whitey and Steve for picking Georgia in their playoff last week.
Well, to be fair, I was coming off the high of Georgia beating Clemson, which is my favorite team for that particular week after they did to Clemson. So I need to be forgiven.
All right. I'll give you a pass. But every year, just every year, people buy into the Georgia hype, and it's never come through.
That is true, although if you talk to Georgia fans, they'll all be more than happy to tell you just a couple of years back, they were a few seconds away from playing for the national championship
Florida
State. Of course, if my aunt had nuts, she'd be my uncle, so you know how that goes.
Exactly.
That's gonna do it for us here on the Skeleton Debates. Thank you so much for listening. We will get the recap for you on the thread there on Utopia, let you know what the picks were for this week so we can keep track of it for our general mockery as the weeks go by. Thanks once again for listening. Let others know on the website, and we hope to get more listenership and also more participation. If you're interested in jumping in, please feel free to do so. Let us know in the thread. We'd be happy to get you on for future podcasts. For Jordy and for Steve, I've been your host, Whitey. Thanks so much for listening to the Skeleton Debates. And remember, do not arm wrestle toddlers. I'm so happy.
Country boy, sit it slick, here bull, temperament, at the pony, at the flame, either way it's an event, if it's me, consider it, more than a coincidence, even though they mama laugh, these suckers keep they distances, mama, okay, hey, what's that they say, hip hop, redneck, that's a safe place, say what makes you comfortable, with me cause I like it here, how about a rural dwelling, urban music, pioneers, turn it up, let it bang, run with me, I bet you can't.